We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Three Maw.
Hello and welcome into another edition of Three Maw. I am John Kurtz, joined by Derek Young from K-State Online, Cole Manbeck, former beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury. We are talking all things basketball offseason right now because there's a lot going on. A bit of speculation about what is going to happen with Jerome Tang as K-State's head coach with the coaching carousel in full swing. We've got players entering the portal, a couple of them from K-State's roster, and K-State chasing portal targets of their own as well. So we'll clean all that up for you here on the show today, which, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Holiday Distillery. Get your Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon and get your 360 vodka. Stock up for the rest of the NCAA tournament. We have some awesome games coming up Thursday through Sunday. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed their 360 vodka and Ben Holiday bottled and bond bourbon last Thursday and Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, for that matter, through the tournament. So support our friends who are great K-State folks who support us here on the pod. We appreciate it. Lots going on. Basketball offseason, hot and heavy, fast and furious, because you have the portal open as soon as the NCAA tournament starts. There's been a lot of grumbling about that. And I guess, you know what, let's just start there, because two tangible news items that we have are that K-State has had two players enter the portal. Cam Carter, Dorian Finisar, I'm not sure either one is a gigantic surprise, at least to like people like us that have been hearing some of this for a little while as a possibility. And Dorian Finisar saw his minutes drastically cut, you know, about halfway through the conference season after he had been more of a factor early on. So your instant reaction to Cam Carter and Dorian Finisar going portaling. We'll start with you, D.Y.
Those are the first two that I expected. And at this point, I would say, obviously not a surprise. I think LSU's already been on campus and met with Cam Carter. I think them in Florida are probably two of the more likelier scenarios with him. And that was probably, being honest, probably something that was unfolding behind the scenes for a bit. I don't think that he really had much intentions of remaining at Kansas State beyond this year. And there was probably a time or a scenario where K-State would have liked him back. I don't know how much by the end of it. And obviously in this new area of NIL, when you're basically dealing with a salary cap, you figure out how much money you have. You want to allocate that money and spend it wisely too. So I think all of those things probably went into, you know, the consideration. So I think calling it a mutual separation might even be more accurate than Cam just electing to leave. But I think he's going to have a pretty, you know, promising SEC situation laid out for him starting next year. So wish him all well with Finisar. You're right. I think that's more of a guy that's probably at this point in his career looking for a greater role, and that just wasn't going to ever unfold for him in Manhattan. And, you know, beyond that, my, I guess, reaction as a whole is a little bit of surprise that there may not be any more. It could be just those two. I think there's a few out there that they'll probably, you know, leave a little undetermined. But there is a scenario where those are the only two transfer portal exits. And if so, that's not the end of the day either. They'd still be turning over a chunk of the roster because obviously you have the spots that were vacated by both Will McNair and Tyler Perry as well.
There's something to be said about continuity, right? So you definitely need some studs in the portal. So there has to be some turnover, which there is. The question is, what's the ideal number of roster spots for them to attack in the transfer portal? DYNO was with you yesterday in Manhattan, and we were talking about that a little bit. And right now, as they sit here today with David Castillo coming in and who's left and who's available, there are, what, four scholarships open? Is that the right number?
Yeah, there are four scholarships open. You would count at five, assuming that when you would take into account that they're also adding David Castillo. In terms of the turnover, you're turning over at least five scholarship spots at this point. I would like to see one more, at least one more. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. You know, I think four to five is probably the right number, and the NIL package is a really healthy shape right now. So we think they're going to be able to go out and land some bona fide studs, and they need at least a couple of those. Now, Arthur Kaluma is obviously up in the air as well. I mean, it feels like that's probably a coin flip at this point as to whether or not he'll be back. So if he goes, then they're going to have five open scholarships, not counting Castillo, who's already going to be on the roster next year, signed his letter of intent. So you'll probably have five to six new players on next year's roster. Quez Glover didn't play this year. Will Quez Glover be back? I tend to think there's a likely chance he will be back. You know, there was some, you know, speculation that McCaleb Rich, just because he hadn't played a lot this season as a freshman, talented freshman, would he go into the portal? It does not sound like that's going to be the case. I think we think Rich is going to be back. Day-Day Ames, obviously, we think is going to be back, who really shined down the stretch and obviously has a bright future as a point guard at Kansas State. And so, you know, Cam Carter leaving is I don't think it's unexpected by any means. I think we all were talking about it for the last 4 to 5 weeks as a possibility. Heck, it's been on their radar for quite some time as, you know, somebody who will likely enter the portal, may go back down south. He's from Louisiana. You mentioned it, DYLSU. Makes a lot of sense for him. You know, I honestly think it's probably best for both parties to have a fresh start. Cam Carter really, really struggled down the stretch. There's no getting around that. The turnovers were baffling and really hard to stomach, and I wish Cam Carter the best. I think he was a good teammate in Manhattan and, you know, was part of an Elite Eight run starting on every game on that season. And then Dorian Fenister, we'd heard for weeks that that was going to happen. So no surprise really there. To DY's point, I think it is a little bit of a surprise that there may not be another one, but we'll continue to track it.
Yeah, well, I guess the other guy that would be up in the air, I mean, I know you mentioned Kaluma, who I'm sure is going to at least see what the NBA draft waters look like for him. I'm not sure that his stock would have improved at all from last year. But I'm sure he'll dip his toe in the water, and then there would be a decision to make for both parties after that if he opts not to go. But the other one is then RJ Jones, who's another freshman that we haven't really brought up or talked about yet. He might be one, it sounds like, that is up in the air still, but we haven't seen movement on it yet. And then, you know, I kind of thought that would be one that early on we might see a little bit quicker happen. So look, I would welcome him back. I think he's definitely got some talent. Like you guys said, you do need some level of roster continuity. Tang and what he saw at Baylor, they were very much always developing guys. They utilized red shirts. They had guys always coming up and developing in their system. It's much tougher to do now under the current climate where it's at, but I like the idea of having some of that, especially with a guy that has the pedigree of RJ Jones. So we'll see, I guess, how that one plays out.
Yeah, Arthur Kaluma's probably pro or stay. And there's definitely some consideration, discussion, conversation for both Quez Glover and RJ Jones, I think. But I would lean towards both staying at this point. But those seem to be decisions that have kind of been wrestled with a little. Yeah.
And David Gasson back. We fully expect David Gasson to be back. We know he showed out on senior day and walked out on the court for senior day, but we expect him to return for next season. Jarrell Colbert likely back as well. And then everybody else we already named.
Well, there hasn't been a specific discussion about Day-Day, right? I think a lot of people would want to know about Day-Day, and I think we definitely feel good about that, too. So,
yeah.
Like this, I think if you would have given people a wish list in the offseason of who they wanted back, it probably starts with Day-Day and David Gasson. Maybe, what, Jarrell Colbert then next on that list for a lot of people? At least the top two, Day-Day and David Gasson, I think would be a consensus. Those were the two that I wanted back in the worst way.
I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was Day-Day and Gasson for me, and then I honestly didn't think about three and beyond too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, nothing against any of those guys, but the portal definitely changes the game in terms of what you're able to do, and we feel good about K-State's position financially to be able to go out and add to that. So let's just roll that conversation into then who are the guys that are going to fill those spots now. I mean, I'd expect that you're going to continue to see the portal bloat and bloat and bloat even more as we get further and further along through the NCAA tournament. You know, we're about to head into the first actual business day here after teams have been wiped out in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. So you're going to see even more names enter the fray here. But DY, I know you've been tracking it quite a bit. Where are things standing right now as far as biggest targets right now here on March 25th?
The most important thing to note would be that this portal is open for another month, over another month, I think. So there has to be some level of patience. You don't want too much patience, obviously, but there has to be some level of patience because you also don't want to go take those four spots, fill them, have no spots left. A couple guys pop open later down the line that you'd like to have, but you can't allocate a scholarship spot for him, so you're kind of SOL. You don't want that to happen. So there, you do have to have some semblance of selectivity, especially since the guys that could enter the portal the rest of the way are probably going to be really good because they're playing on NCAA tournament teams. So that's still – so I wanted to preface everything with that. But, four names really stick out the most at this moment of kind of who's in their sights, or at least – that are guys they really like that are also attainable. Michigan guard Doug McDaniel, excuse me. Everybody and their brother is chasing him. So a tight, heavy recruiting battle. That'll be the same can be said for Drexel big man Amari Williams. Probably not breaking any news there. I know Kansas State, even on Twitter with Joe Tipton and others that kind of track this, that have kind of connected Kansas State to both of those players. I think Illinois Chicago guard CJ Jones is a guy that's starting to make a lot of sense for him too. I think he kind of grew up and was pretty close friends with Michaela Bridge, so that would be the connection. And obviously we've heard that K-State's kind of, you know, has their eyes open a little bit for Old Dominion guard Vashawn Ouellette, who's a native of Canada. So I think those four are the ones that seem the least the most pertinent at this point. But I think there's still a long way to go. These things can tend to fluctuate still. You know, two other guys that are in the portal that I can't really comment on, you know, the seriousness of the dialogue between the two sides, but at least guys that would make sense for him because of prior connections would be Terrace Reed, Michigan big man transfer, someone that probably a little bit of the type of big that makes sense for Kansas State as well. I think he has ties to Rodney Perry's from St. Louis. Kansas State recruited him when they had Bruce Weber. I think, you know, Jerome Tang's recruited him before as well. Again, the tie to Rodney Perry. And then I guess I'm Layden Blocker, obviously, that they missed out on Arkansas too when he was at Sunrise. And that was a heated recruiting battle. One of the first ones that Jerome Tang was involved in at the high school level. When he was first hired at Kansas State. Now, I don't know where those guys are positioned at on the board or how hot or heavily they'll be pursued. Again, you have the, you know, a limited amount of spots here. You can be selective. You can go, you know, get some dynamite players. So it'll be interesting what their strategy and approach for those guys are. And again, there's going to be guys that still enter the portal that might be, you know, guys that they wish to heavily pursue as well.
Well, some of the discussion is going to be like what you said, DY, how hard do you push and pursue now? Because last year, some of the criticism, I think, that came from some fans anyway, was like maybe they should have pushed harder on certain guys earlier on, and they were a little bit too patient with some of that process. And I think just a general discussion that's worthy of having is how different will this look from the way the staff did approach things last year. They're going to have more money. That will certainly help. But you also just, it's not just a coach like learning in year two, now going on year three of being a head coach, but it's like all the coaches are kind of learning this new environment and how to operate, right? I mean, what's the conversation in Lawrence, Kansas right now? It's about how Bill Self handled the portal last year and his roster last year, and Self was up at the podium saying that for a while he had been thinking about next year already because they had such issues with where they were at. So I think that's a very worthy discussion, and we'll have it right after I tell you about our friends at Home Field Apparel. All right, worthy discussion is getting to homefieldapparel.com to check out the 40-plus K-State designs that they have there, including their new drop. Lots of awesome stuff. Please go get that shooting shirt and make sure you wear it in front of Cole so he knows that you can wear it on any occasion. It is pretty awesome. You can check out 100-plus other schools at homefieldapparel.com as well, and we'll even give you 15% off. It's homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code 3MA23 for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. We're back in just a moment.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, let's start with you, Cole. How differently do you think they should approach the portal than what they did last year, and how hard would you be pushing on the current set of targets that DY just laid out there?
I'd love to get two of them in the next couple of weeks. I think if you can land a couple of studs early on, then you can be a little bit more picky and choose the rest of the way and wait for additional guys to enter the portal. But I think there's a few guys out of what DY just outlined that are, you know, bona fide, really, really good players that would help lift this team to being an upper echelon team in the Big 12. One being Doug McDaniel, the point guard from Michigan, who is currently the number six player in the transfer portal. He out of high school, he was the 85th ranked recruit in the country in the 2022 class, number 12 point guard, 5'11 guard. He's going to be a junior next season. He started 52 of his 60 games at Michigan, averaged more than 16 points per game this season on 41% from the floor and 37% from three, averaged nearly 5 assists per game. And as I mentioned, he's the number one point guard currently available in the portal and the number six overall player, according to On3 in the transfer portal, which sounds familiar probably to so many of you because Max Asemus last year out of the gate was the guy that Kansas State chased so hard, and he was the number one ranked point guard in the portal and one of the top five players in the portal. K-State goes after the big fish, especially early on in the transfer portal. They think they can compete and land any of these guys, and so I think Doug McDaniel would be a huge get for this coaching staff. Amari Williams would be a huge get, 6'10 senior power forward. He's currently the number 10 player in the portal, according to On3, the number two power forward. He's a 6'10". 255-pound power forward who has played 105 games in his career. He's a transfer from Drexel, 79 career starts, and nearly 14 points per game last year and nearly 9 rebounds, and then just this past season, 12 points and 8 rebounds per game. Career 52% shooter from the floor, over 1,000 career points and 732 boards. He's from Nottingham, England, so him and David Gasan, you know, Netherlands, England. I don't know if that's rivals, but that would be a really nice get for Kansas State. Those two would be at the upper echelon of my wish list for this coaching staff. There's obviously other guys as well. I mean, I think CJ Jones is a guy that would be a nice role player that would be a get for this coaching staff. Coming off the bench, he's the Illinois Chicago transfer guard that DY mentioned, 6'5", shooting guard. He averaged over 11 points per game last year as a sophomore at Illinois Chicago. Just a little fun fact about him. You know, he ended up at Illinois Chicago, but he was actually committed to Missouri as their first recruit in the 2022 recruiting class. He asked out of his commitment and ended up going to Illinois Chicago. The 247 composite had him as the number 311 ranked player in the country. So he's not some guy that wasn't on recruiting radars and ended up in a low major. He had some Power 5 offers coming out of high school from East St. Louis, friends with McCaleb Rich. So I think you can connect the dots there as a possibility. And then Terrace Reed, he's currently a, you know, transfer from Michigan, number 14 player in the portal, number 5 center, 6'10", 265 pounds, averaged 9 points and 7 rebounds as a sophomore with the Wolverines this past season. Out of high school, he was number 35 player in the country, number 7 center in the country in the 2022 recruiting class. His high school was Link Prep out of Missouri, played at Mocan Elite. Rodney Perry's coached him. He also coached him in the Jordan Brand Class All-American team. And K-State also has offered his brother Tristan Reed, who's a 6'8" center in the 2026 class out of Missouri. So there's a relationship there. He might be a little bit farther down the wish list, but he's somebody obviously to keep an eye on as well.
You're giving me some flashbacks to like Joe Toussaint and Muhammad. I don't even remember how to pronounce his last name. Wege, whatever that guy's name was, that went to Bama, you know, where you thought it was going to be a package deal, you know, Michigan package deal, and then it winds up being nobody. Are you just setting us up for failure once again?
DY's setting you up for failure. You know, he's the one that, you know, has pulled together all the great reporting on KSO for this, so he's getting everybody's hopes up a little bit. So okay. My job is to give you guys the background on these guys and the social media stock.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. That's not your job. Your job is to track social media follows. Where's Instagram corner here? What's going on the gram?
Not a lot, actually. You know, maybe the staff has realized there's a lot of people that track the follows and followers, and they you know, maybe limiting that a little bit more. So, you know, because we do know they don't want necessarily everybody to know who they're heavy on. So there's not a ton of activity on that front. I'm getting kind of bored with it. I'm going to have to resign. I'm going to find some new hobby. So
just dig a little deeper, you know. I don't know. Maybe they're on Threads. Maybe check out Threads. See if it's popping off over there.
Is that the Facebook thing, or like what is Threads again?
Yeah, Blue Sky. Good call, Nick. Blue Sky. Can you check out Blue Sky or Mastodon? See who they're following there.
I feel like I'm going to get a virus on my computer checking out some of these sites you guys are mentioning.
TikTok. Yeah.
But we do know the coaching staff is out actively recruiting right now. So, some of those guys we just listed believe that they are out there and have met with potentially. So
what I will say is you talked about the approach, the strategy here. I have no problem with it. And you do have to kind of take your lessons year after year and morph your approach to this new era that I think changes fast, right? I don't think 1 year means it's like, I don't think this year's been anywhere near what last year was. And some of that is because it's no longer, you get one free transfer. No, you get as many free transfers as you want. So everything's a little bit different. That probably, not to say anyone's doing it, but that probably promotes the idea of tampering even further. So yeah. And retention becomes pretty important. Because if you're not paying attention to that, someone else is trying to poach your roster when it's all free agency at this point. So there's while it's not one-to-one, I've heard it expressed this way, and it makes a lot of sense now because you're basically operating with salary cap, and you do have to kind of deal with free agents and essentially re-sign everyone after every single season, is that you're kind of dealt with managing your roster as if you're an NBA organization, and you need to take that into account. Because I've seen other places that are like, in NBA teams, you got certain guys that make this amount of money, certain guys that make this amount of money, and then some guys at the bottom that make towards the minimum. And maybe you see that kind of dichotomy play out itself a little bit. Do you have locker room chemistry issues because of that? I think it's clear that some teams year in and year out, when they are turning over a lot of their roster, and you do have to take in the salary cap and NIL aspect into it, I think you're dealing with 19 to 22 year old kids who are looking at other people's wallets a little bit too, and I think that can kind of come into play. So everything's going to be a little bit trickier to navigate. Everyone's going to have to figure out how to do it their own way, I'm sure. But it's a learning experience for every coach, not just I don't know that there's a wide gap anymore between a first-year head coach and a head coach that's been around for 25 years, because I think they're both dealing with such a crazy sport that the experience doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, just because you coached in 2007, I don't know if there was anything anymore that translates from 2007 to 2024. So I think that's why young coaches can have a lot of success. That's why I think first-year head coaches can have a lot of success. We saw it last year with Jerome Tang. I don't know if being an experienced head coach matters anymore. I mean, when's the last time Tom Izzo really went on a deep run, right?
He says DY, he's gonna get rich or die trying. He's going to go deep or die trying. So
right. And then one more thing I wanted to get to before we kind of go whatever direction we're going to go in terms of specific targets, the one guy that I think holds a lot of value that they're chasing right now is Amari Williams, the big from Drexel. Because if you go look at the portal, or you go look at who's entering the portal like every hour, you see some kind of guard from some school that's entering the portal that's been averaging 15 to 20 points per game. There is no shortage of guards that can help you that are in the transfer portal right now, in my opinion. I think there is a shortage of bigs that have that skill set that can help you, though. So I think that's why, even if you were to miss out on Doug McDaniel, they don't want to miss out on him. They want him. He's a top 10 player in the transfer portal. But, boy, there's a lot of other guards that can help you as well. If you miss out on Amari Williams, I just don't know if there's a lot of dudes like him.
That makes sense. I mean, it's kind of like what we always talk about in the football portal, like, how coveted like tackles are, right? Because it's so much more difficult to find that position in the portal than it would be like insert skill position player here. And it's a fascinating point you make. That's kind of a bigger picture global conversation, but a fascinating point that you make about coaching experience and how much or little it really matters now. I mean, obviously once you get the team that you have, like, once you get the team that you have, like, putting them out on the floor and figuring out how to work with that is a huge part of it. But, you know, I think Kansas is such a good case study of that, where they've been able to have third and fourth year guys, you know, on their bench for a while that evolve and come up and then are playing huge roles. And it's harder to keep guys like that around. So you got to figure it out a little bit of a different way. And I mean, but look, Bill Self made a lot of mistakes. I mean, taking a chance on Artario Morris was a mistake on a bunch of different levels. And that really burned them with their roster and not having as much depth as they would have liked to this year. So all sorts of coaches. I mean, I think Bill Self's been the best in the game, you know, for a long time in college hoops. But you know, John Calipari, Coach Cal, is about to get run out of town because he's always taking the young guys. He wants the young five-star freshman out of high school. And this is an era now where Kentucky fans are yelling at him like, dude, you got to play the transfer portal game. Like, you can't be running the 18 and 19 year old kids out there against the grown men that are experienced and playing everywhere. So all these coaches are having to really learn and evolve right now.
And to that end, Cole made a good point yesterday, right? About the teams that are relying on freshmen this year, the most, not a lot did. There's fewer and fewer freshmen playing, but I think you made a good point. Like, teams that are relying on multiple true freshmen, I mean, Kentucky and Baylor come to mind. They both exited early, right?
Yeah, I mean, Eves Missy gives him 2 points yesterday for Baylor. He was basically invisible in that game, and he was a stud, and he's going to be a top 15 pick in the NBA draft. And Jacoby Walter, you know, I feel for him. You know, he was emotional after the game. He was 5-11 at the free throw line, had some huge misses down the stretch, and 5-11, but also missed 3 front ends on 1-on-1s during the game as well. So you could really say 5-14 technically, because he missed the front end of those. So, you know, he had 20 points, but yeah, these freshmen in the tournament, you look at what Kentucky did, there's just so much pressure on them. They're not used to it, and you're playing against guys that are fourth, fifth-year guys. And because of the NIL, there's more experience in college basketball than probably ever before, because guys are willing to stick around for a fifth year. You know, now some of that's going to decrease once the COVID, you know, era ends here.
Next year is the final year of people getting that extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to have, but you're still going to have a lot of four-year guys, just because guys that are teetering on that edge of playing professionally or not, you know, you can make $700,000, $800,000, stay in college and enjoy the college life. Yeah, give that to me.
And not have to go to overseas and, you know, be thousands of miles away from your family.
Yeah.
You can stay in the United States and make almost $1 million. I think the last couple of years, like, good examples, I think obvious examples the past few years would have been like Hunter Dickinson. Like, before this era, he's probably not at Kansas this year. He's going to play pro somewhere. Oscar Tshiebwe, right? Stayed all those years at Kentucky. He probably wouldn't have stayed that long, because NIL can make it worth it to stay, especially guys that are borderline pros. Like, Hunter Dickinson's just a borderline pro. Oscar Tshiebwe, a borderline pro. I don't even know if he's playing pro. It's definitely not in the NBA. So those are two to come to mind. There's plenty more, but
it's why you can make a great argument that it's actually good for Kansas State that they'll only, as of right now, only have one freshman on next year's roster, a talented freshman at that, and David Castillo.
Yeah.
You know, but you're talking about 12 other guys potentially if they fill all 13 scholarships, being sophomores and up, that have gone through this. I think that's a benefit. This year, Kansas State had 3 true freshmen, and they also had guys that really hadn't played at all with the Jarrell Colbert, because he redshirted last year. You had Taj Manning, who redshirted last year, had never played as well. Dorian Finister had hardly played, just a handful of minutes as a freshman, and redshirted the year prior. So you're talking about 6 guys that had really not played college basketball meaningful minutes. And now this next year, you know, RJ Jones, if he's back, and, you know, then you've got Day-Day Ames, Buddy Rich, even him, even though he didn't play about 10 games for a stretch there during Big 12 play, these guys have played a meaningful number of minutes. They've gone through it. The learning lessons have been learned. And I think that'll be important for next year's team. And I do think they're going to land some studs. And I get what DY said on Amari Williams. That definitely makes sense. I think the common fan is thinking, I want that point guard, because they saw what Marquise Noel did, right? And point guard runs the tournament, the guard play, everybody's fresh in mind. They're watching the NCAA tournament. They see what the guard play does. But I mean, I could go either way on that. To DY's point, there are a ton of guards entering the portal. You just got to hope you get one of the elite ones. I certainly think Doug McDaniel would be a huge get, and hopefully they could close the door there on it. But everybody's going to want him.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, the other thing too, I guess, is the tournament continues to wind down. Not that these coaches haven't already been grinding their asses off in the portal, but they'll have a little bit more time, some of these teams that were in the tournament, to really devote to the portal and go fully all in on guys. So I'll be very interested to see what the timeline is going to be like for the decisions of players like that that are very highly sought after. Okay, well, we did this in some ways backwards because, you know, there has been some level of speculation about what Jerome Tang is going to do, and this conversation about the portal becomes completely moot, obviously, if you're looking for a new coach. You know, there had been, depending on who you're listening to, like Cole's BFF Trilly Donovan, speculation about Jerome Tang and Louisville for a while. That job is still open when Dusty May pulled one over on them at the last moment and took the Michigan job. You know, Tang's name had been mentioned a bit with Michigan. SMU is open right now. That's a job that's becoming a Power Six job in the state of Texas with a decent amount of money. That's another one that's open right now. If Kentucky decides to get rid of John Calipari, which I guess is as of us taping this on the morning of Monday, March 25th, I have not seen a decision on that yet, but it sounded like it was going to be coming fairly soon. I mean, that's another thing that could just send the coaching carousel down a crazy rabbit hole of spinning around with all sorts of jobs coming open. There's been a lot of speculation about Musselman at Arkansas potentially leaving for one of these jobs, and that would be one I think that we would worry about a little bit. Where do you kind of place the odds right now, DY, of K-State keeping Jerome Tang right now, and what the temperature is on that at the moment?
Never say never, and obviously there's some, you know, extenuating circumstances of what's kind of happened at Kansas State that's probably been a little bit annoying for him, of course, that we've already discussed at length, you know, multiple times. But
well, let me just step in and give a nice little promo for the Discord and the Patreon. If you want to go to patreon.com/3ma, we did an entire podcast last week about the Richard Linton situation, the article that came out, the Manhattan Mercury, how stupid that was. You can get an entire podcast from us on that if you go to patreon.com/3mon, sign up, just $5 a month. Also on the Discord, we update things on a much more regular basis, in addition to just lots of fun conversation going on there. So patreon.com/3mon. Go ahead, DY.
Yeah, never say never, obviously, but I would just say that there is not a current job that really makes a ton of sense for Jerome Tang. Some folks will point to SMU. We've heard completely different, so there'd have to be a 180 there for that to be worth scaring anyone. He's a good coach that's going to be appealing to some schools, right? So I get the consternation by some. At this point, I just don't – there's nothing that really connects him to a current job opening now. I will say it's better for Kansas State if Musselman stays at Arkansas, probably. It's better for Kansas State if Calipari stays at Kentucky and doesn't really spin this coaching carousel, you know, three or four times over. Trust me, I get that. I don't think in its current state right now that there is anything worth being imminently concerned about. And, you know, I've shared this on K-State Online. Obviously, check that out as we've been punching out some good stuff over there as well. But my hunch, and just the way that I've seen this thing kind of unfold behind the scenes, seeing the coaching carousel, is like I still expect Jerome Tang to be back. There's just never been anything that's really set off my alarm to raise really red flags or concerns about that. So I think some of it is people leaping to conclusions on it, and some people that are probably not favorable to Kansas State wanting to will some of the stuff into existence because Jerome Tang at Kansas State does strike fear into some programs, right? Because they think Kansas State can hit its ceiling of potential with Jerome Tang at the helm. And I would agree with them that they can. So there's probably a reason for them to want him gone. I just don't see it at the moment. Never say never, but I just don't see it at the moment.
Yeah, so let's look at the jobs currently available at the Power Six level. We'll include SMU because they are moving into the ACC. SMU fired Rob Lanier after two seasons. He took them to 20 wins this last year, so I think it came as a shock to a lot of people. And to me, that kind of meant that I thought they had somebody lined up already, like a Will Wade, who's at McNeese State, just because of the sudden move to move on from Lanier, who I thought did a nice job. Jerome Tang's friends with him. Does that sour him on the administration there? Will Wade certainly seems like a realistic target. So does Eric Musselman at Arkansas, who may be looking for a fresh start. We know SMU has a lot of money and powerful donors. So the rumor is they're packaging up some significant NIL money as an incentive for this next coach, and will pay a hefty salary for their next coach. But again, I don't think Jerome Tang is a serious threat with SMU. You got Oklahoma State, Louisville, Stanford, Washington, Vanderbilt. All right, Vanderbilt, Washington, Stanford aren't going to probably move the needle with who they hire. I don't think they're going to attract a guy that's going to start a whole new spin cycle on the coaching carousel. Oklahoma State, there was a rumor of Buzz Williams from Texas A&M potentially being a candidate, but I think BYU also read that Danny Sprinkle is a candidate, the Utah State head coach who was at Montana State the year before, who K-State faced the NCAA tournament, is also a guy that Oklahoma State is trying to get. Now, there's multiple schools going for him, but that would just seem to signify to me that Buzz Williams may not be attainable for Oklahoma State. That would be a lot of money that they'd have to spend on basketball between the buyout for Mike Boynton and then buy out Texas A&M's head coach and pay a hefty salary there, plus boost their NIL.
And Cole, I'll step in here. Who was it yesterday? I just read the article that did an update on that, was giving updates on coaching. Was it Norlander across the country and said that Oklahoma State's had been a mess? Called it a mess, that they had chased after a bunch of different guys and it had just been a mess of a coaching search.
Okay.
So, I mean, who really knows with that one?
That was Matt Norlander at CBS. He's done a good job on his stuff too. So want him to get the credit. Don't want to swipe anything away there. One thing I would point out, that, and I know, Cole, you probably didn't get to finish your point, so apologize for that, but like Louisville offered Dustin May like 3.2 and Michigan got him because they upped it to 3.7. Like that, I don't know if it's like coaching salaries are all of a sudden going to be affected because the coaches are more worried about NIL so they can win, but that's just not a salary in the neighborhood of what I was expecting. It's much further lower than I was expecting.
Yeah. And so, you know, the rumor was Dusty May was taking Louisville and then ended up at the last minute taking the Michigan job. So Louisville remains open. I think it was Jeff Goodman, DY, and Norlander that have both said Shaheen Holloway, Pat Kelsey from Charleston, and who's the third guy, guys? Raheem. Yeah, from South Florida are three primary candidates that Louisville is now looking toward. And again, if they hire one of those three, those are jobs that become open that aren't going to move or spend the coaching carousel, right? Like the threat, Seton Hall probably isn't going to hire somebody that's then going to make a job open that is going to be attractive to Jerome Tang. The same thing for obviously Charleston and South Florida. So what you're really looking at here is, does Eric Musselman move or not from Arkansas? And if Eric Musselman doesn't move, then things settle down, so long as Kentucky, and I urge you, Kentucky, give John Calipari one more year. Like, let him adjust his style. Give him a chance with the transfer portal. Give him the NIL he needs, okay? John Calipari has won a national championship for your program. Do not forget how good of a coach he is. Keep him. Keep him for at least another year so we don't have to also go through just a nightmare of a coaching carousel, unless they were to hire a guy somehow incentivize, you know, a Jay Wright or a Billy Donovan that aren't coming from another job in the college level. Jay Wright retired now. I just can't see him wanting to deal with Kentucky fans and the stress of that when he's enjoying retirement. Or Billy Donovan, who's making a hefty salary in the NBA, not having to deal with the transfer portal headache and NIL.
I think he's about to be fired in the NBA, but.
Well, then, if he is, Billy Donovan, okay, Kentucky. If you do move on from John Calipari, make sure you get Billy Donovan or Jay Wright and you have that lined up, okay? Somebody that's not in the college game. Or Bill Self.
Billy Donovan's won multiple national championships, right?
Yeah.
Multiple national titles. Even better. Right. Even better.
Back to back. Yeah. Back to back.
Another name to think about that, you know, we know that he'll throw his hat in the ring because every open job he does, Matt Campbell may throw his hat in the ring for Kentucky basketball too. So, you know, they could obviously hire Matt Campbell as well.
And he would be okay. And John, he would probably find a way to win 10 games in basketball with the opportunity to play 30 plus.
He'd make it a five-star culture. You know, they've had five-star talent, but they need five-star culture at Kentucky. So he could bring that for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I hadn't even thought about that. Matt Campbell to Kentucky hoops. Man.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I were a Kentucky fan, there's no way I would stand for John Calipari still being around. But I see where you're going. I see where your head is at with that. Is there anything else? Anything else basketball-wise that we have not covered here that we need to get to?
I can't think of anything else. I mean, there's a couple other names. J.P. Pegs, Pegusa. I'm probably mispronouncing that. I didn't have time to look up pronunciation. He's another point guard, number two point guard in the transfer portal, who's a transfer from Furman, 18 points a game, 5 assists per game. K-State's reached out to him. Mekhi Mason, a transfer from Rice, a guard as well. K-State's reached out to him, 14 points per game last year as well. But, yeah, and I can't think of anything else regarding K-State hoops at this time, but we'll continue to have a lot of transfer portal update podcasts, recruiting podcasts. D-White, I guess I forgot to mention, I mean, we talked about David Castillo being the only freshman. Any rumblings on Patrick Gongba opening up a letter of intent requesting a release after Duke has recruited over him, seemingly, with the number one center in the country, I believe, that is committed to the Blue Devils for next year's recruiting class?
I mean, there's probably nothing worth discussing until he gets out of a national letter of intent. There's nothing there.
Okay. All right. But we'll have lots of football stuff coming your way. So we'll start talking some football too. John, I saw you post an Avery Johnson highlight to Jace Brown, I think, a one-handed grab, man. Avery and Jace, the connection's looking pretty damn dynamic. So, yeah, excited.
It is. You're not going to take a moment to take a shot at Trilly for being wrong on Louisville?
You know, and didn't he miss on like a low-major Texas job too in the last couple of weeks as well on a name? UTSA, I think he missed on that one too, you know, so things are going pretty poorly for him. I'm not going to take shots, though. I mean, he's still hitting at a decent rate, but yeah.
Well, I think he said, I would expect the Baylor coaching tree to be active for that UTSA job. That was all he said, and then it was filled by somebody that was not from the Baylor coaching tree. That was
Trilly, if you're looking for a PR representative, John Kurtz is your guy. He always comes to bat for you. Whenever I come after you, John Kurtz comes to a defense and brings up logical reasoning to combat me on it. So if you need a PR guy, then John's your guy.
Well, I would just point out, Cole, you steered us wrong on the NIT. So, I mean, it's glass houses, you know, to be throwing stones from.
You know who needs a PR person, John, as well? The president of Kansas State.
Oh, well, that's all you. That's all you. You can go take that job. You're more PR pro than I am.
No, thanks. I don't think I want to deal with Richard. I don't even know. Like, I just don't even think he's someone that listens to his team and his PR people anyways. So no, I don't think I'd want to deal with that.
Fool's errand to take that job. Patreon.com/3maw if you want to hear more about that. Patreon.com/3maw. That's going to do it for us here today. Appreciate the work of Nick Springer behind the scenes. As always, thanks to our friends at Holiday Distillery. Thanks to our friends at Home Field Apparel. For Derek Young and Cole Manbeck, I'm John Kurtz. Thanks for listening to another 3maw.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.